Sure am thankful for our choir. I know you like them, but I really like them. Hey, I tell folks all the time, our choir helps me. They're a blessing to me, a minister to me. Amen? Amen. I'm going to get you out of here early this morning. Well, not. I'll get you out of here early afternoon. How about that? I didn't lie. I was telling the truth, all right? As we look at John chapter number 12, I just want to read a few verses. I'll start reading in verse number 17. And I'll read down through verse number 28. All right. The Bible says this, "The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle." What miracle? Raising of Lazarus, all right? Verse number 19, "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." Man, they thought, this is hopeless. And the Pharisees have come to a point, they don't realize it, but it's prophetic. But they've come to a point where they said, the whole world is gone after him. What have we done? What can we do? If you go back, the background behind where we're at is chapter number 11. Lazarus dies and Jesus comes and calls him out of the grave. And the Bible says that he came forth out of the grave wrapped in his grave clothes. But Jesus has performed a miracle of raising Lazarus, and he did so in such a manner after 4 days that many saw it. Many were spreading the word abroad as we would have done. I need somebody to help me. And we would have been gossiping, telling everybody in the world about what Jesus done, all right? And so word was spreading fast, and a lot of people were coming because of Lazarus and because of Jesus' raising of Lazarus. So much so that the Pharisees said, man, what in the world? There ain't nothing we can do. The whole world is gone after him. The world is gone after him. Now, they were in their little pity party and in their sorrows, but the fact of the matter was they were being very, very prophetic. And I've not seen this before, but I hope that it'll be a blessing to you today. The Bible says in verse number 20, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. The Bible says, Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying," I believe that there was more than just Andrew and Philip that was standing there when Jesus said this. I don't believe for one moment that these Greeks came to see Jesus and he didn't have time for them. I don't think for one minute that these Greeks, that in just a few verses right here, they came to him seeking him and he ignored them. So I believe that when the Bible says Jesus answered them, I believe that the Greeks were standing there with Andrew and Philip and possibly all the disciples as Jesus preached a message. It's a short message, but it was a good one. Could you imagine Jesus preaching a message and you being there? The Bible says, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come. Now that's significant, mainly to the writer of here, John, in the Gospel of John. However, we do hear talk about Jesus' hour in the book of Matthew and in the book of Mark, but here, John puts an emphasis on it, starting in chapter number 2. In chapter number 2 of the book of John, there was a wedding at Cana. And there at that wedding, they had run out of wine. And Jesus' mother, Mary, told him to perform a task. I won't go into all the details, and I'm not going to preach John chapter number 2, but Jesus answered her in verse number 4 of chapter number 2, and he said, woman, my time has not yet come. In John chapter number 7, Jesus had stirred up a hornet's nest. But the Bible said that no man laid hands on him. Why? For his hour had not come. John chapter number 8, Jesus doing what Jesus done. He made all them religious folks mad. And the Bible says, but they would not lay hands on him because his hour had not yet come. That's John chapter number 8, verse number 20. The other one is John chapter number 7, and I believe it's verse number 30 or somewhere in that neighborhood. But anyhow, in both of those instances, and then from John chapter number 2, John chapter number 7, John chapter number 8, this theme is carrying on that there was an hour that was coming. And in John chapter number 2, 7 and 8, the hour had not come. But in John chapter number 12, Jesus declared, the hour is come. The hour is come. What was that hour? That the Son of Man should be glorified. Not the Son of God. This was a name that he gave to the Messiah, the Son of Man, this a name given to the Anointed One, the Christ, the Son of Man. It was his time that he should be glorified. And boy, I could imagine how excited everybody would have been. The Jews that looked at him as Messiah, they were waiting on this Messiah because this Messiah, as far as they were concerned, he was going to conquer the Roman Empire. He was going to conquer all of their enemies. He was going to sit on a throne and they were going to rule the world. So at the very beginning of his message, when he says, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified, I wonder if all the disciples didn't go, what? Oh, it's finna get on. Is everybody all right? We finna do some damage right here. But Jesus wasn't finished. He says, verily, verily. How many of you know when Jesus says, verily, verily, there's something important coming behind it? I mean, when he throws out a verily, it's important. But a verily, verily, it's important. It's importanter. Some of y'all get that because y'all barely got through high school. All right, now, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Oh, there's a message. I mean, we can stop right there. There's a message. There's a message. It's wonderful how Jesus and the Bible just goes right along with what you and I are so familiar with. But here, Jesus said, if a seed falls in the ground, it's got to die. But if it does, it'll bring forth much fruit. Because out of that one seed will come a plant. And out of that plant will come fruit. And out of that fruit will come seed. What Jesus is saying is that the Messiah that they want so much to rule the world, he has to die first so that he can bring forth much fruit. And what they don't realize is that they're the fruit. What we don't realize is we're the fruit. The Bible says in verse number 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. Now we see, we was all excited about Jesus telling us he was going to die for us, but now all of a sudden Jesus turned this thing around, man, and he's preaching a message that's convicting. I need somebody to help me. Man, he didn't go to Joel Osteen's school of preaching. He says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Boy, let me read that again. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then God, and only way, only like God could do. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. I'm going to stop reading right there. I want to go back because something took place. Something happened in the life of Jesus in John chapter number 12. And it was just a few verses, but everything in his life changed at that moment. And I think many missed it because many just read this and read right over it. But the Greeks coming to Jesus signified that his hour had come. The work that he had began in a cradle, the work that he had began as a babe, coming to die for us, has now come to its hour. And most people just breeze right on through it and go right on by it. But Jesus said there was a significance to these Greeks. He's teaching us that there's a significance to these Greeks that came to him at this time. And that significance would change eternity. Why? Because his hour had finally come. His hour had come according to Jesus that he should be glorified. And yet you and I look at the cross as if it's something to detest, as if it's something to be shamed about, as if it's not good enough for the Messiah. I need somebody to hear me because this was the exact attitude that the Jews had. Hey, we want a Messiah, but we want a Messiah on our terms. We want a Messiah that'll come in strength. We want a Messiah that'll come and rule the world. We're not after a Messiah that'll come and hang on a cross. We're not after a Messiah that'll freely give himself up for my life. They wasn't after that. They didn't understand that. And many today don't understand that either. But Jesus said, the hour is now come that I should be the Son of Man, the Messiah, shall be glorified. How is he going to be glorified? On a throne? Y'all better get into this. Hey, look, I was going to get you out of here early, but I can preach all day, all right? I need your help, all right? I'm going to need your help this morning. Hey, he said, I ain't going to be glorified by a throne. Jesus was looking far beyond the throne And he said, it is time for the Son of Man, the Messiah, to be glorified. And that was in the cross. Where you and I look at the cross as something evil and something ugly, Jesus looked at it as a key piece of reuniting, reconciling, restoring you and I to fellowship with the Father. And do you know what he's done today? Through his death on the cross, he has reconciled you and I to himself and to the Father. If you're saved in this building this morning, man, when we sang the songs thinking, thank you, Jesus, for the blood, there was something in your heart that just, I'm talking about, overflowed. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, cleansed you from your sin. As we sang the song, there was Jesus. You look back and you've seen the love of Jesus in your life and how over and over again He loved you. As we sang Rescue Story, you got to remember where you were when He found you, how much He loved you, how much He brought you out of that miry pit and set your feet on a solid foundation. You got to thinking about how good God was in your life. Boy, as we get to singing those songs, man, there's just something when you're saved, you can't explain it, but all of a sudden you're overwhelmed by God's goodness. You're overwhelmed by God's love, a love so great. He said, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we go back to that cross where Jesus was glorified in his body, where Jesus died for you and I. By his stripes, you and I are healed. By his wounds, you and I found peace from the wrath of God. Glorified. He said it wasn't the throne that would glorify him, but it was the cross that would glorify him. He said his hour come when a bunch of people that did not deserve to be saved started seeking Jesus. I mean, y'all ain't hearing this, but you need to hear it this morning. Up until this point, his ministry has been to the Jews. Up to this point, he has come to save the house of the Jews. And now all of a sudden, the Greeks have come and they said, sir, we would see Jesus. And Jesus said, oh, it's time. It's time. I've done everything that I could to make you love me. I've done everything that I could to let you know that I've come as your Messiah, but you have rejected me. You have turned away from me. And now there's a new bride. There's a new family. There's a new bride that's come. Jesus said, everything changed. Y'all better hear me. At this point, do y'all realize? At this point, Jesus said, the world is now ready for my death. Why? Because the world is now seeking after Jesus. Can I say this morning? The world's still seeking after Jesus. No, it might not be a pile of people, and they might not be hundreds and thousands of people that are looking for Jesus, but there's a few that still would like to see Jesus. There's a few that would still like to just one time get to meet up with Jesus. Why? Because it had changed their whole life. And they're looking for something. They're looking for something. And so as we look at this passage of scripture this morning, we see that these Greeks were looking for something. But the only way that they could find it was through somebody. Oh, is everybody hearing me? I told you I ain't gonna be long, and I probably lied, but I'm trying not to. They looking for something, but the only way that they're gonna find it is through somebody. Yeah, I'm gonna go over here and say it again. They're looking for something. In this instance, they said, sir, we would see Jesus. They were looking for something. But the only way that they were going to find something or someone was through somebody. The Bible says here in verse number 20, And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip. They were looking for someone, but they could only find it through somebody. Oh, y'all better hear me. This world is looking for someone. They're looking for something. Something to ease the pain. Something to bring them peace that passes all understanding. In a world of turmoil, in a world where everything is chaos and world's turned upside down, every single day it seems like they're looking for something. But they'll only find it through somebody. These Greeks came to Philip. Let me tell you something you may not know about Philip. Philip is a Greek name. I didn't go to Joseph. I need somebody to help me. Y'all ain't understanding it, but you will. All right, I promise you, you will. They didn't go to Joseph. They didn't go to a Jeremiah. They didn't go to an Isaiah. They didn't go to a... They went to Philip. Because Philip's name was Greek. And guess who they were? If you didn't read your Bible, these were Greeks. What are you trying to say, preacher? What I'm trying to say is that the people that they went to were the ones that were most like them. Oh, I know it's good. I know it's good. Y'all ain't liking it, but I know it's good, all right? These people that are looking for something, Brother Jeremy, they need somebody like you. Somebody, Jesse, there's somebody out there like you. God help us. But the only way that they're going to find someone is by somebody who's just like them. You know what this world doesn't need? Let me tell you what doesn't exist in this world. And listen, everybody look at me. This is what doesn't exist in this world. A perfect person. This is what doesn't exist in this world. Somebody that's better than anybody else. I'm going to just throw that out there to you. If you're looking for somebody that's better than anybody else, you're not going to find them because we all in the same boat. We all in the same place. Is everybody with me? Hey, listen, you and I are all going through the same struggles. And the people that are looking for him are looking for somebody like you, needing somebody like you to get them to him. They need somebody that knows what it's like to spend their nights in a bar. Oh, say, preacher, what in the world? How dare you? They need to hear that there's life outside of the bar. They need to hear that. They need to hear somebody say, hey, I chased it in the bar. I chased it at night. I chased it all my way. But God changed me. These men that they came looking for, they were just like them. And the world needs somebody just like you who has received the grace of God, who has received the love of God and wants to share it with somebody. We're living in a day and time where we just bottle it up. We're going to live our own life. We live as an island. And yet people are looking. Oh, it's the preacher's job to get people saved. Oh, it's the church's job to get people saved. It ain't the church building, but it definitely is the church's job. The body of Christ is responsible for bringing others to him. And there's somebody that's looking for him. And the only way they're going to see him is through you. The only way They're somebody that you don't even like. Amen. You don't like them because they just like you. I need somebody to help me. It's amazing. It's amazing how many people we don't like that's just like us. Hey, I ought to tell you something. You're not a likable person. But the only way they're going to know is through you. This group of people was important. That's all the sermon I'm going to preach. This group of people was important to Jesus, so much so, Justin, that they set in motion the cross, the agony of the cross. Jesus said, these that are seeking me, these Greeks, they're so important. Y'all ain't getting this. Y'all ain't getting it. I was hoping you'd get this, but you probably missed it because there's been so much said right now. But these very ones that were seeking after Jesus set in motion the cross. It was at this point Jesus announced, the time has come. Not because Peter professed his undying loyalty. Not because Lazarus was raised from the dead, but because somebody outside of the Jewish community had now taken note of what was going on with this man called Jesus, and they came seeking after him. And it signified that the time had now come. But listen to me. It was such an important, just a few verses, was so important. But yet, how many sermons have you heard preached on it? This is when Jesus announced, it's time for me to die. That's right. And yet, how many sermons do we hear preached on that? That it was because of some Greeks, not Jews. But some Greeks, some Gentiles, that was seeking after Jesus. Now, if it was so important, if these Gentiles were so important that it set into eternity future the cross, then how important are they on the other side of the cross? If they were so important on this side of the cross, before the cross, then how much more are they important on the other side of the cross? Amen. Now the question is this. Do you recognize that you're a somebody?
That's right.
I don't care what anybody told you.
That's right.
You're a somebody.
Amen.
And there's somebody looking for someone, but they need a somebody to show them his love. These Greeks came and they wanted to see him and they wanted to see this man that had performed this miracle. Listen, and his message was this: I'm going to die for you. Yeah, Miss Lucy, they ain't even see it. They ain't seen it, Miss Lucy. But this was the message that he preached to the Greeks. I'm going to die for you. Hey, you ain't got no throne. We ain't going to sit on a throne together. We ain't going to rule together, but I am going to die for you. And when I die, there's going to be much fruit. Why? Because I'm going to leave some somebodies to point some other somebodies to someone who loves them. I reckon I preached from this passage of Scripture before. I preached probably one or two sermons out of Sir, We Would See Jesus. But I'll be honest with you, I never made the connection between, Sir, I Would See Jesus, or We Would See Jesus, and my hour has come. If you think we're here for any other purpose, if you think we're here for any other purpose, you got it all wrong. I'm glad we'd come to church. I'm glad that we can sing songs about Jesus, but there's still a group of people out there that would see Jesus. And the only way they're going to see him, Brother Kenny, is through a somebody who's just like them. Can you imagine? In eternity future, God has a purpose for you. Jesse's testimony, and I only repeat it because I've heard it so many times, but Jesse's testimony was he would have never listened to a preacher that hadn't been through what he had been through. And what drew Jesse to this church was a somebody that had lived like somebody that was looking for somebody. Woo! Hey, do you realize there's somebody that needs to see Jesus and wants to see him? God help us. But they need a somebody like you. They need a somebody like Buddy Spivey. They need a somebody like Mark. I ain't figured that one out yet, but they need a somebody like Mark. Brother Jim, they need a somebody like you. Hard to believe, ain't it?
Amen.
I mean, it is. It's hard for me to believe that God needs a somebody like me.
That's right.
I'm not being funny about it. It's hard to believe that me, knowing who I am, that God would use me. knowing what I've done, knowing who I am, knowing my thoughts. And God, Jackson, God, he got a purpose for me. He would use me to reach somebody. Say, well, preacher, I'm not even good at being a Christian. Join the club. I struggle every single day. But you know what these people are looking for? They're looking for somebody just like them that struggles just like them, but know him. Because they want to know him so bad and they need him so bad, but they need somebody who's like them to show them him. What are you doing? How are you fulfilling your role in this? Is the world still seeking him? Listen, somebody's going to walk up to you tomorrow at the job, at a gas pump. They're going to walk up to you tomorrow in a lunch line. They're going to walk up to you tomorrow, at some point tomorrow, and they're going to say something. They're going to say, hey, how you doing? They're going to say something like, do you know how much this is? Or do you work here? They're going to say something like that. But here's what they really say. Sir, ma'am, we would see Jesus.
That's right.
See, we're waiting on somebody to just come lay it in our lap and just say, hey, man, I just noticed you around the parking lot. I just thought I'd come up to you and ask you, hey, do you know Jesus? I'm looking for him. Not going to happen. But there's somebody tomorrow you'll come across that's looking for him. And they need somebody just like you. Somebody that ain't perfect. Hey, listen, somebody that's perfect ain't gonna do it, Jesse.
That's right.
Somebody that's perfect ain't gonna do it. They ain't gonna listen to somebody that's perfect. I know some of y'all are, but they ain't gonna listen to somebody that's perfect.
That's right.
They looking for somebody that messes up. But preacher, I sinned. They can identify with that. Just like these Greeks identified with this man by the name of Philip. A of all the disciples they could have come to, they came to the one that they were most like. Dalton's coming to the piano. I don't even know if this is a salvation message. I don't know what it is or not. I know this. We have seen Jesus from the time this service started until the end of it. We've seen Jesus. If there's anything that I can say is I have done my best to make it a point that you've seen Jesus in everything that was done here. So now it's time for us to listen to me. Some of you were so excited when you got saved. Some of us were so excited when we got saved. It was like God had done something in us and we wanted to share it with somebody. We couldn't even hardly contain it. We talk about Jesus, and I'm talking about it was like the Holy Spirit would just rest in when we were talking about Him. Goosebumps come all over. Is everybody all right? We'd be burdened for people because we wanted people to be saved just like we were. I can remember, man, people were getting saved around here, Brother Kenny, and people were bringing their family to church. They'd tell me things like this: if I can just get my dad to church, he can get saved. They were dragging people to church. Why? Because we had a burden. We realized our purpose. And the only way, listen, the only way others are going to hear about Him is through you. Somebody. Telling them about someone who died for them. Heads bowed this morning. There's people already on the altar. Maybe this morning would be a good time for you to get on the altar. Why don't you come find the altar and find a place just for a few moments and ask God to burden your heart for the lost. If it was so important to Him that it changed everything, that it brought His death, His hour, then how important is it after the cross? I need you to help me. Got teenagers all over the altar praying and asking God to use them to talk to one of their friends at school. And yet as adults, we've almost got to the place where, God help us. Maybe the problem in our country ain't the youth. Maybe the problem in our country is the adults. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. God, I thank You for, Lord, our time here together this morning. Lord, this passage of Scripture it seems so insignificant, just a few verses about some people that came to see You. But yet it was the trigger. It's what turned it, Your earthly ministry, completely around. When a Gentile sought after You. Lord, by Your word, everybody that we come in contact with, probably well over 95% of the people we'll come in contact with tomorrow, Lord, are Gentiles, just like us. People just like us. And need the grace of God, just like us. The love of God, just like us. And yet, Lord, we're failing You. God, I pray in Jesus' name that we would be some somebodies that would point some somebodies to you. God, may we recognize our purpose. Give everything we have to accomplish it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I ask a question and we'll end the service. But today, sitting in this building, sitting in the chair you're in, do you know where you'd spend eternity if you was to die? I'm telling you, I'm asking you this question because I'm a somebody, probably a lot like you, that can show you someone that'll change your whole life. If you're in here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die." I want you to do me a favor and just lift up your hand. You ain't got to keep it up. Just lift it up enough that I can see you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Is there anybody else? Be honest with me. Preacher, I do not know. Is there anybody else? Oh, I see it. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. This morning, there's been two that's raised a hand. I'm going to tell you, I've been where you're at. I remember sitting in a church. I remember a preacher asking the same question. Probably why I ask it so much. Because it was at that moment I had to be honest with me. It was at that moment where my eternity became real clear. And it was that day that I got saved. I want to give you the same opportunity. If you'll let me, I want you to do this. I want you to get up out of your seat and come to where I'm at. And we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you'll let me do that. Praise the Lord. Trent. Miss Suzanne, are you in here? Is there anybody else? One of them didn't raise their hand. That's why I asked. I wonder this morning, would you get that thing settled? I wonder this morning, would you just get it settled today? You're missing out on peace. You're missing out on joy. God wants to do something in your life. God wants to do something through your life. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the blood as we've sang about. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your participation in our life. In the shadows, Lord, when we weren't looking for you, God, you were there looking for us, loving us. Lord, we're thankful for somebody. Somebody that pointed us to you. Somebody that showed us, Lord, your love. We may not even know their name. But God, their obedience to their purpose in life is what brought us to you. Lord, I'm thankful for people that aren't perfect. I'm thankful for people that are just like me, that love you and want others to love you. God, I pray that you be with these that are getting saved. Lord, I pray that you be with those that are sitting in this auditorium that are saved. God, may we leave out of here realizing, Lord, that we're somebody. You have a divine purpose for our life to show somebody else who you really are. God, help us. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise for what you're going to do in our church, in our lives, in our community.